It's the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. It's again Wednesday. Thanks for joining us on the big awesome cast. With me, as always, across the broadcast desk is Colin Burton of fizzleandpop.com.
Hello, everybody.
Special guest in studio, my sister Heather Knight, Matted Spam.
Hello.
No cease and desist letters this week?
No, not so far.
Our topic today is drinking on the job. And I know there's a lot of people out there across this great land that do drink while they are doing what it is that they do for a living. And I will say that in the past, I have drunk on the job, and that got Colin in a significant amount of trouble. Now, before we get started, I will say that everybody at this table is of legal drinking age. Colin, who does not live here, does have a designated driver.
That would be me.
And I am already home. And
yay.
So to make this show very effective, we're going to be drinking on the job. Now,
yay.
This is neither of ours job. We're not receiving any compensation for this, but you get what I'm saying. While we do this particular awesome cast, we are going to potentially get steadily drunk. Now, Colin's drink of choice today will be Crown Royal and Coca-Cola, fine deluxe blended Canadian whiskey. His drink I will prepare right now. Unscrewing the cap on the large handle of Crown Royal. That's the Crown Royal.
That's a lot of Crown Royal.
And that's not, that you know, you're going to get more than that.
Yeah,
and for a little
job.
Bit of background, oh, I was just going to say that I actually don't drink very often. I used to drink a lot when I was in the Air Force, and once I got out, I pretty much stopped. So it won't take long for me to get drunk at all.
My drink of choice, now see, Colin and I are the only ones that are going to be drinking during this pod.
Maybe.
My drink of choice is going to be Stewart's Ginger Beer and Hennessy, very special cognac, because much like MC Humpty Hump, I'll drink up all the Hennessy you got on your shelf, and just let me introduce myself. I am Derek, and I'm currently pouring Hennessy, very special cognac, into my plastic cup with ice. Hennessy. Hennessy and ginger ale is actually a drink that I recently discovered during a trip to Las Vegas, because I saw it on the shelf and I said, hey, you have Hennessy. Why don't you pour me that with some ginger ale? And So now that we've both got our drinks in front of us, I'm going to give you kids a little background of what drove me to drink while I was working at the Gazette.
So we're starting now.
Drink up.
Oh, that tastes good.
Some years back, I worked at the Gazette with Colin.
Yes.
Turns out that I was actually his supervisor. But this was a job. I was the advertising art and design manager, and this was a job that really was a lot of hard work. I mean, long hours, a very heavy workload. And once I was promoted to manager, I not only had to do all the things that I normally did, but then I had to sit through pointless meetings, and it just made the day longer, and it really sucked. And what I was kind of doing to take the edge off of the suck was I was mixing up drinks at home, and I was bringing them in a thermos, usually a pina colada or something, you know, nice, and like rum and coke. And I'd drink it at my desk.
See, and I had no idea you were drinking. I really didn't.
Which really says a lot about how well I can hold my alcohol.
Or how inobservant I am. Because I think other people did know.
Well,
Amy knew.
Well, Amy knew because I offered her some because she asked me, what's in your thermos? And I said, pina colada. She said, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. Would you like some? And I make pina colada very well. I mean, I do things, I don't just do it half-assed. I actually focus on, let's make a good drink. So I use a rum blend and the best mix that I can find. And it doesn't turn out really overtly alcoholic. There's a lot of alcohol in it, but it tastes very smooth and it smells very fruity. And that was one of the things I was doing. She tasted it and said, oh, you're lying. There's no alcohol in that.
Mm-hmm.
But she had been drinking on the job, too. So, but the thing is, I was always also choosing drinks that would not really give a very pungent smell of alcohol. It wasn't like I was coming in with a brown bag full of Night Train and, hey, guys, good going.
That would have helped me identify your problem.
Yeah, and it wasn't a problem.
Oh, no,
I have a problem.
Well, did my work performance suffer?
Well, hell, I don't know. I didn't pay attention to your work performance. I just know that it almost got me fired.
Exactly. Now, drinking up more of my Hennessy, and Colin's tanking off a little bit more of his nice drink, one of the things that I did to Colin, and I did a lot of things to Colin, but this was something that was supposed to be just a fun time joke.
Uh-huh.
A big fun time, happy, ha-ha, he's going to catch it and laugh, and nobody's going to get hurt.
Right.
I will set the stage. It was my last day at the Gazette. My drinking at work days were soon to be over because I had been hired away at the agency that we now work at together, and all was going to be right with the world. So on my last day, I had gone out to a Mexican restaurant with some of the other people. Colin, though, didn't go. I don't remember why.
See, I think I went. I know I went.
No, yeah. You didn't.
I drove, and I almost hit that dude in that car.
No, this was another time that we went to the Loop. I think in this case, we didn't go to the Loop. We had gone to Jose Muldoon's and ate out on the patio, and you weren't there.
Okay.
But anyway, so. We had gone to Jose Muldoon's for margaritas and Mexican food. And I had a few. It was my last day. I'm having fun. So, but before we left, because you were going to lunch somewhere else completely, and this is why I know that you didn't go, because this is part of the story.
Well, okay. Then.
After we got back, you went to lunch. You waited for us to get back before you went to lunch to have coverage. You know, I mean, God forbid. It was the night shift, but still.
Right.
What if the security guard came over and stole all our stuff? I mean, they didn't hire
the one-armed security
guard? Yeah, the one-armed security guard or the short guy who was a sex offender. I mean, that could happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, you had been... Now, what Colin and I do, essentially, the way we make money is we build advertising. You know, you open up your newspaper and you see an ad for anything. Somebody had to design that ad, build it in a computer program.
Right.
That's what we do. So, in this case, Colin had an ad for H&R Block up on his computer. And the headline read, Early Bird Tuition Special. So, I, seeing that, thought, here's an opportunity for fun time.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over, and I changed the B in bird to a T. Now, for those of you who are just auditorily challenged and can't visualize anything, that now made, even though it wasn't spelled in the traditional manner, that now turned it from early bird tuition special to early turd tuition special. I figured, Colin will see this, ha-ha, have a good laugh, change it, all will be right with the world. But yeah. What was wrong with my thinking?
Well, first off...
You're
wrong.
I had been drinking, I admit.
Right. So I had basically, before going to lunch, had printed already the proof that the account executive would be seeing, and I got back from my lunch, didn't take a look at it, and just closed out of the program, so it showed me shutting it down.
Sure, and you did such a good job on the ad
that
it came back with no changes on the proof.
Exactly, and here's the odd thing. We go through how many hundred ads?
Hundreds of ads.
Yeah. And we had a system...
In a night.
Yeah, we had a system in place that would track who handled each ad. And as it happened the next day when I came in, I pulled from the stack that had been approved to send them out, and I happened to grab the early turd special. And since it
If an early bird gets a worm, what's an early turd get?
I have no idea.
Go on.
Okay, so anyway, it had already been approved... And it looked okay on the proof. It said it was good to go. And we had, the way the system worked is we'd just release the ad. We wouldn't actually reopen it and relook at it. So I released the ad to go to print.
And whose name is all over this ad?
Just mine.
Just Collins.
Yes.
And so what happens is, this ad, Early Turd Tuition Special. And ironically enough, in big letter, one of the bigger words in the ad was crack.
Yes.
So the first thing you meant, crack. But if you look closer, it was early turd tuition specials. Now, what happens then is this ad gets back to composing. And there was a female that worked back in composing named Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is all secondhand information, but what I've been told, and I think you told me this.
Yeah, I was...
But it was... So this is actually like third or fourth hand, because it was probably secondhand information told to
you,
then relayed to me, was that Monica caught that mistake... Not a mistake, it was actually intentional. she caught that in composing and looked at it and said... I guess we had been making a lot of mistakes, or is she just an asshole?
But she was just an asshole.
She looked at it and said, I'm tired of fixing Art's mistakes. I'm going to let it run.
Exactly.
And she chose the wrong time to exhibit bravado.
Yes, she did, apparently.
Because when that hit the papers the next day, the shit hit the fan. But H&R Block never got better publicity out of any ad than that one, because all of the morning shows on the radio stations were talking about it. Their phone was ringing off the hook. The ad rep caught the not mistake, called them up, and I can edit out the parts where I'm drinking.
I don't know. It lends authenticity to the
called them up and had to actually hang up and call them back because he was laughing so hard. Because he's trying.
Yeah.
Now, I know your ad today says early turd. And he loses it and has to stop and call them back. But they were actually pleased.
Mm-hmm.
After it was all said and done, they never got more phone calls from any other ad. And
right.
It actually generated a lot of revenue for them. But all was not sunny and rosy over Gazette Way, where I was no longer employed.
Yeah.
Was it?
They didn't have a sense of humor. So, yeah, I was called in to Rob. And
Rob Scott was one of the managers. He was actually, I remember right before I left, I had really stuck it to Rob.
Yeah.
Because I had gone into a meeting without Rob, and I said, the day shift isn't working hard enough. And the people I was with in the meeting with said, well, what's your solution? I said, well, I think Rob and I should switch. I will manage the day shift, and Rob will manage the night shift. That sounds like a great idea. Rob's not there to defend himself. I really stuck it to Rob there. Yeah, that was really me being mean-spirited.
I know for a fact day shift wasn't working because I'd come in and they'd be in the break room playing Trivial Pursuit instead of doing ads.
Yeah, they weren't doing nearly as much work as we were, and they were definitely afraid to have me as their manager, although I don't really think I made much of a difference, but more work was done on the day shift with me there and with Rob on nights. But
yeah,
anyway, so Rob was your
to me.
Rob at the time was your manager.
Yeah.
So you were called into Rob.
Right. Well, Rob and what's her face?
Liz.
Liz, that's it.
The very intimidating Liz.
Liz. Yeah, I won't say her last name, but anyway.
She has the same name as a salad.
So,
a salad with blue cheese and grilled chicken and perhaps some little corn cobs.
Well, I remember Rob called me in and he showed me the ad and he said, did you do this? And I was like,
because the computer says you did.
Yeah, well, actually, he didn't say that yet. He just pretty much wanted to know if I had done it. And I recognized the ad, but of course, I never saw turd in that ad before. So I said, I don't think I did that. He said, well, yours is the only name that's been associated with this ad. And I said, I didn't do it.
And so then then how does it get around to that maybe I did it?
I think desperation on my part. I mean, that's about the only thing I could think of was...
So cornered, so faced with duress and backed into a corner, you're always going to say, Derek did it!
No,
I had nothing to do with it. It was that
ultimately,
Derek guy.
Ultimately, during that time, you were still the supervisor, so... I don't know why he called you.
So, but yes.
But you were called, yes.
I was home. I had just gotten home from literally my first day of work at the new place, the agency where Colin and I both work now. And it's Colin.
Yes.
And Colin sounds very sad for some reason. Yeah. I say, hey, Colin, how's it going? Because I'm happy now because I don't work at the Gazette.
Yes.
And he's not happy. Colin says, hey, did you change a word on one of my ads? And I said, no, I would
exactly.
never do that. Why would you ask?
Yeah.
And he said, do you remember what you said after that? Damn it, they're going to fire me.
Yep. Well,
this is serious.
Much, yeah, I remember saying this is serious.
This is serious business. Did you or did you not change bird to turd?
Right.
And
right.
it clicked. Oh, shit. Yes, I did. You didn't catch that? Because, like I said, it was literally my last day. I was gone in... just a couple hours, gone. I never saw the aftermath of this, and I didn't read the paper because, lo and behold, you know why I didn't see it? Remember? We all got free subscriptions to the Gazette.
Oh, right.
They cut me off immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, I did not get a paper that day, so I didn't know that the carnage had ensued.
Well, okay, this might be wrong, but I thought that this all happened, your last day coincided with our family reunion up on Grand Mesa.
No.
That you were out of town when he was trying to call you.
Oh, no, I got, hold of him then.
No,
believe me, they would have fired me if...
No, I started work at...
they were positive.
This was in September. This was in September of 1999.
Oh, okay.
That would not have coincided.
That's true.
Yeah.
But anyway, I admit, I say, oh, shit, yeah, you didn't catch that? That was supposed to be a joke. You were supposed to come back and see that. And change it and have a good laugh. Ha, ha, ha. And he said, well, nobody's laughing.
Yeah, nobody was laughing.
They want to fire me over this. I said, oh, shit. Well, put Rob on the phone.
Yeah.
Hello. Rob had kind of a deep voice.
Yeah.
You play Rob.
Hello.
Hi, Rob.
Did you change a word in Colin's ad?
I did, Rob. I'm sorry. It was supposed to be a joke.
Well, I'm very disappointed in you.
That is exactly what he said! I am like he's my dad or something.
I'm so disappointed in you.
You will feel
shame. Oh, fuck off, Rob. So actually, I was like, you know, well, you can't fire me, but don't fire Colin. And I hung up. And it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the most awesome thing ever. And I, you know, another piece of secondhand information and something that I can't actually verify, but fuck it. What do we have to do, check facts on an awesome cast? Mm-hmm. I heard that ad made it all the way to Leno when he shows his little, you know, things that he shows on his show.
I never watched that
crappy show, but I hear it made it all the way to Leno. So let's see. It was famous. It was talked about by every morning radio show. It made it to Leno. It probably made more money for H&R Block than any other piece of advertising that year.
Yeah.
And yet the only thing that it got you was nearly fired.
Right, no bonus.
The only thing it got me was Rob being very disappointed in me.
Very disappointed.
Fuck, fuck you, Rob.
Oh, and it also got Monica,
oh, yeah, Monica
suspended.
Well, Monica got suspended, but then Monica quit.
Well, yeah,
over
that's
it.
Because,
she quit because
yeah, she felt that it was unfair for her to be suspended, and she was very much
but at the same
an
time,
antagonistic
I mean, and,
individual.
And, I mean, if you really want to take a nihilistic view of this, she did not do her job.
No, she didn't. Exactly. If she... Well,
would this be a nihilistic view? I don't even know what nihilism is. I'm just making that up.
I'm playing along with you. I don't know either.
Because yeah, you just didn't miss a beat. You're like, yeah, hot damn.
So anyway, yeah.
But she didn't do her job. I mean, she caught it. She should have made the effort to change it,
yeah,
regardless of whether it was a mistake or just
exactly, just
a fun-loving prank.
Right.
Which really, a harmless, fun-loving prank by a harmless, fun-loving individual such as myself.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, drink your drink, man.
I am. Well, it's down to almost ice now.
Okay, well, here, let me get you another one.
Okay. Well, hold on.
Take that last bit off, and I'll get you a little bit more. And while I'm getting a little bit more, why don't one of you tell us a story or something?
You want me to tell you how I was drinking at school?
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
You never
this probably has something to do with Rhonda.
Oh, see?
Bad influence.
He knows. Rhonda lived three houses down and across the street from us when we were growing up. And she was only a year ahead of me in school, so we were best friends. And we would walk to school together every morning. And this one particular morning, she was a senior, so I was a junior. Or maybe she was
okay, that's enough of that fucking story.
Sophomore.
We're back.
Hey, shut up.
No, go ahead.
I think I was a sophomore because I remember being in Mrs. Stroud's class. And
you know, Mrs. Stroud was a very smart individual. She
yes,
wrote
she
most
was.
Of the textbooks that we had in science class.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that. I mean,
know
she
that.
Was either a co-writer or sole writer of all the science textbooks that we
Ooh.
Used at Whitefield. But
well,
one
hell.
Of the ugliest people I have ever seen. One of the most misshapen, pale individuals
yes.
I have ever come
not
across.
Not attractive. Yes.
Not attractive
not
at all.
Not attractive at all. Very nice.
There are some people out there that have no hope of ever attracting a mate. Unfortunately, Mrs. Stroud falls in that category. Unless,
she's a Mrs.
Oh, you must be blind. Well, anyway, go ahead.
Anyways, Rhonda, I went down to Rhonda's so we could walk to school. Well, her parents had gone down to Alabama to visit family, and for some reason, she didn't go with them, and she was alone in the house. And so I walk into the kitchen, and she's got this can of Cherry Coke sitting on the table. She goes, Harry, you want a swig? Sure. Take this big old swig, and oh my God, I about died. I had never actually had alcohol before.
Well, no, and the thing is, we were very good kids. I mean,
yeah.
Really.
Well, we were.
The funny thing is, oh, actually, up until recently, I finally turned them to the dark side that is boozing.
Right. Yeah, but
yeah,
we
my father
up,
and my mother, well, now remember, very, very rarely mom would indulge in a wine cooler.
Right, right. Well,
here
she
and there,
did
but
let me
Dad,
have a wine cooler when I was like maybe
I think
14.
Maybe when I was growing up.
And your dad tricked you into
When I was growing up, I think I saw my dad have one sip of beer. You want to talk about teetotalers. That was my parents when we were growing up.
Well, they didn't say it was bad either. They just, it wasn't something they did, and it was never around us.
Right.
So,
but
it
we
was,
were also very good kids. I mean, we were.
It's easy to be good when you don't have the means to
But
be
we
bad.
Were afraid of being disciplined, believe me. I mean, Mom would beat the crap out of us. She's a small woman, but she's surprisingly strong.
Okay, Dad.
But anyway.
Anywho, so what she had done was she had dumped half the Cherry Coke out and filled the rest of the can up with amaretto.
Which is a very nice, sweet, indulgent liquor when you're an adult. But when you're a kid, that was probably quite the shock.
It shocked the hell out of me. I was like, oh my God, my stomach is burning, my throat is burning. I was like, oh my God. But it was good.
Yeah,
it
just, amaretto is very good.
It tasted so good.
And if it's
good.
Di Serrano, it's even better.
Yeah,
although
it was.
Romeo will do in a pinch.
It was Di
and
Serrano.
And it's cheap.
So the thing was, it was Di Serrano. So she's, you know, and her parents are gone. And they
spoiled right off the bat.
They didn't lock up their alcohol. They had, in their kitchen, they had.
They're from the South.
That's right.
They're from the South.
Well,
just
from
before she go farther with this story, I want to tell you a little story about Rhonda the dad, Charlie.
Charlie. Papa.
Mr. Charlie worked for a body shop that's owned by Korean. And so he and the owner, Mr. Han, they don't communicate very well. Mr. Han talk like this. And Charlie talk like, what you talking about, Mr. Han? What, Charlie? Why you, whoa, Mr. Charlie, why you go over there with the dog? I can't understand you, Mr. Han.
Well, now you're making him sound not like
I can't
Charlie.
Understand you. Anyway.
Anyways, my turn again?
Yeah.
Okay, so they had their alcohol. It wasn't locked up, and they had a lot of it, but it was in an old refrigerator. I think it was the refrigerator that actually came with the house. It was, like, built into the wall. And
that's not possible.
It was.
Plus, you
Did
just
you
said
ever
the word refrigerator.
Whatever.
It's a refrigerator.
Refrigerator. But it wasn't hooked up. It was broken, and they used it to store all their alcohol in, and there was a ton of it. And so Rhonda figured, parents are gone. Free reign.
Because Rhonda, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Rhonda was a bad kid.
She was a bad kid, and I'm surprised I didn't get into more trouble with Rhonda.
Oh, but you were always the one getting in trouble.
Yes, yes, I was. No, I wasn't.
Yes, no, give him the stick. Don't give him the stick. Drink your drink.
This is your drinking time here, because I'm telling my story. So it's
yeah, but then I'm not
going
to be able
time.
To speak when it's all done.
No, that's the point.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Okay, so, to finish my story, Rhonda says, ooh, do you like it? And after I get done coughing and getting over the burning, I'm like,
very much.
Hey, this is really good. So she makes me one. And we drink our Amaretto Cherry Cokes all the way to school, which it wasn't very far, but, you know, we were drinking it fast.
And right behind the school.
I'm sitting in science class. That was my first class of the day. And I'm sitting there going, God, my stomach burns. I want some more. Rhonda actually went home, told the nurse she was sick. Because she had to go home to get more alcohol.
Homesick for booze.
She did. And then she kept it in her locker. And I don't know if she did. I think she did that. I only drank that one time. But she did that the rest of the week that her parents were gone.
And what were her grades like?
You know what, though? She was actually a pretty good student, though. I know she got good grades. Apparently the alcohol didn't affect her any.
See? I could still build ads and she could still pass math.
I didn't pass
Not her, because we both sucked
at math.
And
I was sober.
Actually, probably being drunk might have helped me on the math test. I was terrible at math.
Yes. My eyes are starting to glaze a bit.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, chug that last bit, and then we're going to pour you another one.
Well, I happen to know, just from the taste of this, that this had a lot more Crown in it than Coke this time.
Well, it probably sank to the bottom.
And exactly.
Because I'm not sure you finished it all up. Finish that up. I'm going to take a big chunk off of my Hennessy and ginger ale.
Yeah.
Hennessy Very Special Cognac is very enjoyable. It's kind of sweet. Did you taste it?
I did.
Thing is, the ginger ale is very spicy. Stewart's is a very spicy ginger ale, and so you've got a spicy, sweet thing going on that probably, out of all the people in the world, I'm the only one who can appreciate that. Because when I told my wife what I was going to be drinking, she freaked out and said, oh, that's going to be horrible. But then you saw her attack it like it was, you know, dinner to a hungry hobo.
Yeah.
my stomach.
Oh, I just swallowed an ice cube.
Oh.
You'll be okay, it melts.
Yeah.
That's comedy gold right
there. Well, it's like your son getting a spree up his nose. It'll dissolve. Shut up.
Yeah.
You wuss. But where were we?
Drunks, drinking, math.
So, yeah, Colin did not get fired because of my drunken escapades. And I wasn't really drunk. In truth, in fairness, I've only actually been what I would consider stinking drunk once in my life. And that was at the company Christmas party a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was the funny thing was, I was actually intending to get stinking drunk.
Yeah.
I had intended to get stinking drunk, and then Scott found the drink tickets and replicated the drink tickets. So then but I actually paid for every single one of my drinks.
Of course you did.
Or obtained them legitimately with legitimate drink tickets.
Right.
But I had had then a very bad day at work, and really seriously, bad days at work at the agency where we work at. For Colin, I think they're every day. For me, they are. And by the way, I'm in the process of pouring Colin another drink.
Well, actually,
Go ahead, Colin. Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, not every day is a bad day. Just
you hate life.
No, I don't hate life.
Hate
I just
life.
Don't like. I don't know. I really can't say what I don't like. I'm not drunk enough yet to say what I don't like.
Let's just say that that's your perfect job. And
yeah,
this
you
is
like
not
that, and that's yeah.
Job.
I'm more of an illustrator. I never did go to school for design. I'm not a graphic designer. I just kind of fallen into it, like falling in with the Crips or something.
Only it pays better and it's less dangerous.
Exactly.
An accidental gang member.
But no, and the thing is, but I had a very rare, very bad day at work. The day of the company Christmas party a couple of years ago. And so that just kind of fueled the fire. It's like, well, I had already planned on seeing how drunk I could get. Now I have a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to the site of the company Christmas party, which is usually held every year, with few exception, at a, what's in the news, Robin, golf course in an older section of town. You don't get that? That's kind of, I don't get it either. But
well, then why did you do it?
Penn Jillette does it. And I think he's making fun of Howard Stern.
Okay. Oh, Robin. Yes, okay.
But anyway, so I get there, and I start off immediately. We get there about an hour early, because that's when the bar opens. And I start drinking.
Yeah.
And by the time things really get into the swing of things, I've already had I'm not kidding, 8 drinks. And I was really starting to hit on 7 and 7, Seagram's 7 and 7-Up.
Yeah, I like that.
Because
too.
That turned out to be the smoothest of the drinks that I had tried that night. And so the owner of the company comes up, puts his arm around me and says, I want you to sing a song to get everything going. And the thing is, he's taken advantage of me before.
Yeah.
He has had me sing a parody song that he wrote on a Friday afternoon on a Monday morning.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen that.
Which was awesome, and we'll cover that on another show. So I'm stinking drunk, and I got the owner of the company with his arm around me. So I say, sure, buddy, I'll sing a song to get things going. And I sing Mac the Knife, and I'm sure I butchered the crap out of the song. And I'm got the wireless mic and I'm from the DJ, and I'm roaming through the crowd, smacking people in the back of the head, putting people in headlocks, giving them noogies.
Is that how you remember it? Go ahead.
Sorry. I know I'm exaggerating. But the point is, I didn't stop. I know at one point after 12 drinks, I got up and I looked at my wife, and she remembers this very clearly, probably with very unfocusing eyes, and I said, my buzz is wearing off. I think I need a couple more drinks. That was a lie. Mm-hmm. My buzz was not wearing off, but I needed a couple more drinks. And I went out, and one of the higher-ups in the company, who recently got us all ice cream.
But, right.
No, him. It's a him.
No, but for the purpose of the podcast, let's call it her. So throw people
off. This is a her. She's got legs down there.
Yeah, whoa, yeah, those legs go all. But he was buying everybody shots.
She.
Yes. And so I was dipping into the spiked punch, and she says, I'm buying everybody shots. So I had a cup of spiked punch in one hand, 12 drinks in me, and a shot in the other. Down them both. Get another 7 and 7. Legitimately. And I'm just stinking drunk. So that's the only time I've really actually been drunk. I know I was totally fucked up. And we'll say fucked up as an industry term. And I threw up later. But wow. I blame the food. Because a lot of other people got sick. That's the only time I've actually been drunk. Mm. And the reason that I can usually stop after a few is because I'm so afraid of the calories making me fatter than I am.
Yeah. Not if you're going to throw it up later.
That's true. Fine. I can become an alcoholic bulimic.
Exactly.
It's the best of both worlds. You can indulge in alcohol and not gain the weight.
Right.
I recommend it to everybody.
Okay. Well, you know what? I figure this is a good time, since we're talking about drinking and we're drinking, that I mentioned that when I was a teenager, I never really drank. Although one time we were drinking and I was all messed up and all upset and everything, and I went driving in the rain on my motorcycle without a helmet, drunk.
All right, Ben Roethlisberger.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? And I didn't wreck, so I wasn't too drunk then, obviously.
So you were depressed, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was a teenager. Angst.
How old were you? That's right. You've mentioned the
angst. Well, that was the only time that I was underage drinking.
But how old were you?
I'd have been 17, I guess. 17. Now, so I was a year away from drinking, because at the time the Colorado law was 18.
Yeah. See, when I was in high school, they had changed it to 21.
Right. Well, I fell under the grandfather clause for that.
Okay. I didn't.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because I was a sophomore in high school when they changed it.
Yeah.
So I was like almost there too, and no.
Yeah, so I fell under the clause there, but
I didn't. But I and I will admit, sadly, under the influence of alcohol now, that I drank before I was legal.
Yeah.
I had indulged in what is called Mad Dog 2020, which when I was shopping for alcohol today, earlier at the liquor store, mm-hmm. I saw Mad Dog, Night Train, and Thunderbird, and I thought, wouldn't it be funny to force Colin to drink Night Train, Mad Dog, Thunderbird, and Boone's Farm?
You couldn't have done it.
Now, Boone's Farm, of those four that I just mentioned, Cisco, I'll mention five. Cisco. Cisco is cough syrup in a bottle. Cisco is the nastiest wine. Thunderbird, as John Belushi said in the Blues Brothers, that's a mean wine. Mad Dog is probably the only alcoholic beverage that I have ever indulged in that you can actually feel working. As soon as you drink it, you can feel everything changing. But Boone's Farm is a wonderful concoction, and the only complaint I have about Boone's Farm is that they no longer make the piña colada variety. I remember very fondly, years ago, playing flag football under the influence of a full bottle of Boone's Farm piña colada and playing very well. And
that's what you remember.
Right, but everybody else remembers me playing very well, too. Okay. And so I figure I will have to attribute that to Boone's Farm. And people make fun of Boone's Farm because it's cheap. So was Thunderbird, Cisco, and Night Train. I mean, they were very cheap. I was thinking, I'm not going to lose any money on this. I'm going to spend like $6 and get Colin stone drunk. And instead, I break out my premium blended Canadian whiskey for you.
And I appreciate it.
And we're having a fine time on the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour, which is coming to an end.
You're kidding.
Time flies when you're stone drunk, man.
Oh, man, no.
I know. I mean, and if you want, we can go again, but
let's continue.
We're done. We're done for this episode. This Wednesday is over. It's the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight, indulging in Stewart's Ginger Beer and Hennessy VSOP Cognac.
I knew that would happen.
Special guest in studio is my sister Heather.
Bye-bye, thank you.
Matted Spam. And, of course, across the broadcast desk in Studio D. Shefalia, as always, every Wednesday, is Colin Burton of FizzlinPop.com.
Yes, I'm buzzing, and Derek is just fine. I knew this would happen.
Funny, I may seem fine, but I'm slightly, I'm getting that. Hennessy is good. I mean, believe me, I'm probably going to finish this bottle tonight. Anyway, we'll see you again next Wednesday, kids, and we'll still be drunk.